I will always remember the Giant fans.
10-5 touchdown!
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Popper from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll take a look at one of the golden eras of Giants football, the Parcells years, 8 years from 1983 to 1990. Bill Parcells was born in the shadows of where Giants Stadium was located, and he helped deliver the Giants' first championship in 30 years. It wasn't easy when Parcells started, but he collected a group of players that bought into his style and his system, known as the Parcells guys. In 1983, Bill Parcells was named head coach of the New York Giants. Parcells had been the team's defensive coordinator since 1981 and had assembled a group of tough, hard-hitting players who loved to play his aggressive style of football. In his first year as head coach, the Giants went 3-12-1, and there were rumors that Parcells could be on his way out.
After 83, you know, there were some more than strong rumors that I was going to be let go and they were going to hire someone else. And when I did get the opportunity, I said, well, if they're going to get me, it's going to be on my terms, not someone else's terms.
And he said, I'm going to clean this mess out, but I need to know that the guys who are here are going to be my guys. I need guys that are going to fight because I'll give you everything I got if you give me everything you got.
We changed a lot of people after that 83 season. A lot of people, probably half the squad changed.
That was the coronation of Bill Parcells, quote unquote, his guys. And that's when he very methodically began to select individual players that he was going to hang his hat on and place an inordinate amount of responsibility on our shoulders to make sure that we delivered and that we were leadership by example.
Everybody had a role to play, and everyone understood what their role was. Lars had his role, Phil Simms had his role, Joe Mars had his role.
That was team in its truest form, because it was all about this group of guys, Parcells guys, that just were all for one and one for all.
Harry Carson and George Martin were the heart and soul of the Giants defense. But linebacker Lawrence Taylor was the engine.
It's my guy, you know. We came together, an assistant, and he was a young draft choice and catalytic player, dynamic, easy to coach. That was the great thing about Lawrence. You teach him something, he could take it right with him. Your job when you get a player like that is to let the talent flourish.
Be more aggressive on that special now. They'll come back with that. You know that slant counter there?
Yeah.
Kick it over.
Once you're hot, play that.
Yeah.
Here we go, Lawrence. Kick it over.
Yeah.
And while Lawrence Taylor was taking over on defense, Phil Simms had taken over on offense.
In my career, the guy that kind of changed my mindset was Bill Parcells. There's no question. Just the way he talked to me and made it really personal and really kind of let me know that, look, we're going to win or lose because how you play. Let's go. And it made me feel great.
All right, we got to get something going here now.
Damn, no. Go.
We needed each other. I think I needed him. I needed someone like him. He understood me.
Phil, look, when we call the Y-Ted, that's who we're trying to throw it to.
Don't be
too inventive, okay?
Okay, they took him.
He was not sensitive. He could take it. I could use him as a whipping boy on purpose, which I would. Now, he was fiery, so he would respond.
Hey, Phil, I'll run the game.
I don't know who you're sending in.
I'm sending goal line in.
Well, somebody give me something.
Okay.
I ain't got time to
signal.
Make a call.
It's pretty unique when you see a quarterback and a coach stand on the sideline yelling at each other. And I usually did not yell back. I usually just sit there and took it. So every once in a while when I would say something back, I would go, oh, my gosh, that is the man I just did that to. I'm in trouble. Bill was different. You couldn't offend him. You couldn't say anything that would offend him. He'd laugh about it and go, hey, You really hated me yesterday, didn't you? You hated me. You wanted to hit me.
You take who you want. I'll take him. We'll line up and we'll play. I'll play him.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, The Parcells Guys.
The origins of the Suburbanites really began with Coach Parcells. I know he fancies himself an expert on personnel, and not just their playing abilities, but their backgrounds as well. Chris Godfrey, I guess, is the philosopher of the crew. Carl Nelson's an engineer. Bart Oates is an aspiring attorney. Billy Ard's a stockbroker, and I'm a car dealer. So all suburban type of jobs, and Coach Parcells started labeling us with that.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, The Parcells Guys. With the help of general manager George Young, Bill Parcells had started to assemble a talented mixture of cagey veterans and new young players. Harry Carson, George Martin, Lawrence Taylor, Joe Morris, Jim Burt, Leonard Marshall, and Phil Simms were the core of the team. And in 1984, Carl Nelson, Elvis Patterson, Gary Reasons, and Phil McConkey were added to the Giants roster. But the big prize that year was the Giants' first-round pick out of Michigan State, linebacker Carl Banks.
We were kind of the new group that Bill Parcells was excited about.
Carl was a highly ranked player, and I remember going to the Senior Bowl. I watched him for about 10 minutes, and I said to myself, you know what? I want to get this guy on my team.
The one thing about our teams, we were all tough guys. So we'd rather punch you in the face than to see you dance around us.
In 1985, Parcells added a few more tough guys to his team. Center Bart Oates, quarterback Jeff Hostetler, and tight end Mark Bavaro.
I tell you, he's a stone face, that Bavaro, man. You know what the hell he's thinking. I'd hate to have to fight that son of a gun.
Complete to Bavaro down to the 35. Still on his feet to the 30. Down to the 25. Down to the 20. He's got four men on his back and gets down to the 17.
I think when someone thinks of Mark Bavaro, that's what they would remember. His toughness and physicality. That's one tough, talented football player right there. I'll tell you one thing. I was glad he was on our team. I really was.
How you doing, kid?
All right.
I'm proud of you. Tough guy, kid.
I understood him right away. I loved him, you know, right from the get-go. You know, just his whole presence, everything about him.
And when a defensive back, Mark Collins, and linebacker Pepper Johnson came on board in 1986, the Giants were poised for a Super Bowl run.
There was absolutely no doubt in my mind that we were not going to go to and win the Super Bowl that year. I just had so much confidence that we were all on the same page. We felt that we were tough SOBs, and we were just a hard hat group of guys who just wanted to go out and smack people around.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
We had a lot of weapons during the course of that year. And we were playing Philadelphia. My number was called. I released down the field when the ball was snapped. Jeff Rutledge lobbed the ball to me, and my heart was racing.
Oh, they're going to throw the ball. He's going to get a touchdown if he holds it. Touchdown!
Harry Carson.
Harry Carson.
When I caught the ball, you know, I was extremely happy. I mean, I'd gotten interceptions before, but, you know, this was my play. And I didn't want to disappoint, you know, the fans, and I gave them a little something to cheer for. Just a very small piece of the 86 season. There are a whole bunch of other guys who had bigger plays, like George Martin against Denver.
Motion toward the middle by Vance Johnson. Elway is looking for a target, goes out to the right side, intercepted. George Martin, 30, 45. At the 45, Elway takes it and breaks the tackle. 40, 35, 30.
That George Martin play, I've said it myself, that's the greatest play I've seen in football.
Martin to the 20, Martin to the 10, he's in.
George, have you ever run that far with the football?
Ever?
You got to be kidding. With the ball? Never.
You know, I was really happy for him because, you know, we've been through a whole lot together, and I like to see that happen to an old guy, one of the old guys, you know.
Everybody had a lot of big plays. Jim Burke knocking Joe Montana out in the playoff game. Lawrence Taylor with the interception, returning it for a touchdown against the 49ers.
After dominating the 49ers at home in the playoffs, they would give their fans a long-anticipated celebration by beating the Redskins at home in the NFC Championship.
As the clock was winding down, the one thought in my mind was, come a long way from 1976 when we first opened Giant Stadium. And these same fans are cheering us now because we've turned this ship around and we had a dominant year. And this really was a gift for the Giant fans.
When you win the championship, you know you're going to the Super Bowl. It's the greatest feeling in sports.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, the Parcells guys. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, the Parcells guys.
Well, it really wasn't my idea. I always give credit to Jim Burke because Parcells had been riding him all week and we were about to play the Washington Redskins. And so as time was winding down, we were so jubilant with the fact that we were beating them at home. We came up behind him with the bucket and we drenched him. Once I got him, that sort of set things in motion because Bill was very superstitious. If you do something one week and if it works, you have to keep doing it. So as we were winning, I had to keep drenching him with Gatorade. We had fun doing it with him. And it just really became a symbol of the 86 season.
I don't have to motivate this team for this game. Are you kidding? This is the Super Bowl. If you can't get ready to play this game, you ought to take a hike.
In 1986, Bill Parcells would lead his guys into the Super Bowl to face the Denver Broncos. And as a tribute to one of his co-captains, middle linebacker Harry Carson, Parcells made one small change to the team's coin toss ritual.
You know, quite frankly, I didn't know that I was going to be the lone captain. I was on the sideline talking with Parcells, and the official was standing there, and he said, "We have to go." And so Parcells said, "Go." And I said, "Well, what about George? Go." "What about Phil? Go." And so I started walking out on the field by myself.
And the Giant captain, Harry Carson.
I just felt honored to be representing all the guys on the team. But the mere fact that Parcells trusted me was something extremely gratifying.
With the Giants trailing 10-7 in the first half and the Broncos threatening to score again, Parcells' guys on defense would step up when the team needed them most.
We've been there before. I mean, this was a different game, but we've been there before. And as we made play after play, you know, we just started, you know, pounding one another. You know, we can keep them out. You know, whatever we need to do to keep them out, we're going to do it.
10-7 Denver. They're threatening to score again. Winder taken down at the 6. Harry, Carson, everyone in there, the linebackers, reached around and stopped him.
When you stop the Denver Broncos, you know, four times within the 5-yard line, you know, that's a bond that will never be broken.
Carlos is no good.
And with the tide now turning in their favor, George Martin would make another giant play on John Elway and the Broncos.
He's in the end zone, he got him! Crazy! And a big 2 points for the football Giants. George Martin is the man.
The momentum shift, particularly after the safety, there was not a question in our mind that we were going to win that game. There was not a question among anybody in the Giant locker room. And we were controlling the tempo of the game. The second half was totally dominated by the Giants.
That second half dominance was spearheaded by a record-setting performance by quarterback Phil Simms.
Touchdown, I believe! I know they are marking at the one!
I knew he was playing well. He told me in warm-ups he was ready to rock. I remember saying, whatever you want to do, Bill, let's do it.
The numbers and how well it went and all that didn't even hit me after the game when people said, hey, you were 22 of 25. I saw it on the scoreboard when they named me the MVP.
He hung on to the ball. Favaro hung on to the ball to McCarthy came down with it.
The Super Bowl champions are the Giants, everybody's dream in football.
I was ecstatic, and it was like Christmas for me. I mean, it was one of the greatest feelings of my life, walking back into that locker room and being around the guys that I would eventually win a Super Bowl with, who to this day are my brothers.
For me, it's just something extremely special because you bond when you're on a team. And it's probably one of the best highlights of my career to win the Super Bowl that year.
The rest of your life, man, nobody could ever tell you that you couldn't do it because you did it.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, The Parcells Guys. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, The Parcells Guys. In 1990, the Giants raced out to a 10-0 start and had their sights set on another Super Bowl appearance. But in Week 15, quarterback Phil Simms would be lost for the season, and backup Jeff Hostetler would get his chance to earn a spot as a Parcells guy.
Losing Phil Simms, who was probably one of the toughest guys we had in our locker room, and putting Jeff in there, we didn't lose much because Jeff was a pretty tough guy too.
I was very confident that these guys believed in me. I know they did. You know, these guys were going to play their hearts out for me, and they knew I was going to do the same.
But in the NFC Championship game, Hostetler would have to overcome an injury of his own.
I'd taken one shot by Jim Burt on the knee and hyperextended it back, and I had a pop and searing pain, and I came over the sideline. And I remember Parcells coming over and saying, "Can you go? Can you go?" And I said, "Yeah, I can go." And then he left, and then he came back again. He said, "Can you go?" And I yelled back at him, "Yeah, I can go. I'm going."
With a toughness and determination truly befitting a Parcells guy, Hostetler led the Giants to a stunning victory over the two-time defending Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers.
Back, spot, kick is away, it's got the distance, it is good, good,
and the Giants are going to Tampa Bay, it's over for the three-peat.
And in Super Bowl 25, Parcells and his guys rocked and socked the Buffalo Bills in one of the most physical games in Super Bowl history. O.J. Anderson rumbled for 102 yards and a touchdown. Mark Ingram juked and jived his way to a team-high 5 catches for 74 yards. And Stephen Baker hauled in the eventual game-winning touchdown in a thrilling 20-19 victory.
Back, spot, in the air, got the distance, it is no good!
Everybody write you off. You can't win with your backup quarterback. That group of guys, they just responded like they always did. Oh, yeah, well, we'll see about it. And that's what happened. We did see about it. Everybody found out they still had what it takes.
Super Bowl 25 would be Bill Parcells' last game as the New York Giants head coach. And the Parcells guys would get to carry their coach off the field one last time in a victory ride, whose final destination was Canton, Ohio.
Presenting Bill Parcells for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, George Martin.
Bill changed the face of pro football from this standpoint. He made pro football players students of the game. Up until that point, it had just been X's and O's, and it was a physical game. He showed us the mental, the intelligence of it.
Hey, fellas, this is what you work all off-season for. This is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that.
He challenged us, and he made us a team. And we were a team, and we were his guys.
I had the exact right kind of players, understood my personality, bought into the program at the absolute most critical time in my career.
That's a good catch, Mark. Big play, son. That's the way to go. Hey, those guys are going to beat you around. You got to learn to beat their hands off you. You know what I mean?
To me, he was a pretty easy guy to understand, you know. Do your work. You know, keep your mouth shut. Don't self-aggrandize. That's the kind of guy I want to play for. You know, I don't think I would have played as hard for anyone else. I know I wouldn't have.
If that ever was a motivator, somebody that could look at talent and say, this guy going to be special, this guy can do something, that's what he was. And that's the difference between being a great coach and just being a coach.
In addition to the victories earned on the football field, Parcells also won the love and respect of his players.
He's a guy that taught you what, in the terms of football, what family is about, what fighting for one another and caring for each other is about, because we forged friendships in that locker room that, you know, still exists to this day.
I always used to tell him, 15 years from now, nobody will even know any of us, but we'll know each other, and that'll be the most important thing. I'm honored, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful to every single one of you out there that had something to do with this. Thank you very much.
The story of Bill Parcells goes long beyond the two Lombardi trophies that he won with the Giants. His enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or his induction into the Giants Ring of Honor. No, the story of Bill Parcells is about a lasting legacy of how he touched his players when they were playing for him and throughout the course of the rest of their lives. It's a bond that this Jersey guy created and exists still today. Parcells, guys. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles. From the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching Giants Chronicles here on MSG. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.